Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Raised Up, Chapter 9, titled, The Gospel Which I Preached Unto You. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. So here we are instructed to keep in memory the gospel of Christ that Paul preached, or we have believed in vain if we don't. What he shows us here is the true gospel, and that is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He, that's Jesus, was buried, and He rose again from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. So according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel is defined this way: Christ died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again the third day. Could Jesus have been buried or raised again before He first died? No. In fact, later in this chapter, the apostle writes this. He says, Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, or made alive, brought back to life, except it die. Again, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. 1 Corinthians 15:36. Are we keeping the cross, we must ask ourselves, the centrality of the gospel of Jesus in mind in our personal lives? Jesus not only died on a cross to bring us to God, He commanded that all who would follow Him take up their cross daily to do so. His true disciples are to glory in the cross, the death of self, that is, giving rise to the resurrection life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice how in Galatians 6:14, the Apostle Paul forcefully affirmed the following: But God forbid that I should glory, save, or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Galatians 6:14. And concerning the preaching of Christ and the cross, Charles, his name is, he's a commentator, and he said this: I believe that most sermons which are fullest of Christ are the most likely to be blessed to the conversion of the hearers. Let your sermons be full of Christ from beginning to end, crammed full of the gospel. As for myself, brethren, I cannot preach anything else but Christ and His cross, for I know nothing else, and long ago, like the Apostle Paul, I determined not to know anything else save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. People have asked me, what is the secret of your success? My answer is, I always answer that I have no other secret but this, that I have preached the gospel, not about the gospel, but the gospel itself, to the full, free, glorious gospel of the living Christ, who is the incarnation of the good news. Is the modern church self-centered or Christ-centered? We should ask this all-important question and make sure we're following Jesus via the Word of God by studying it diligently and daily for ourselves, as the Word of God instructs us to do, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Scarcely can one find the message of the cross being preached today. What a shame. This was Paul's gospel, and if it's not ours, we have a false gospel, another gospel, and in God's holy eyes are accursed for espousing a crossless gospel. Galatians 1:6-9. How can Christ possibly be glorified where his message is shunned, and men are therefore alive unto self and dead to him instead of dead to self and alive to him? How can the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection be seen if men aren't learning to die, to be buried with him and allowing him to raise them up in his life and power? How can personality programs and pitiful political and philosophical panderings possibly replace him who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come? Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Glory robbing and soul stealing. The brazenly rebellious refusal of any leader to die to self and preach Christ crucified is the betrayal of Christ and the precious souls who he influences. Notice 2 Samuel 15, verse 6. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Notice Absalom, the son of David, stole the hearts of the men of Israel, 2 Samuel 15, verse 6. So we should ask ourselves, are we self-centered or Savior-centered? Like Absalom, who stole the hearts of the men of Israel, so many today mislead those they guide into darkness, into deception, and ultimately damnation. Most men in positions of quote-unquote Christian leadership and influence do not elevate Jesus Christ, the one and only head of his true church and body. Instead, they elevate themselves, the programs of mere men, pageant, entertainment, and the doctrine of self-love. Philippians chapter 3 verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." It is sad that so many leaders today have an Absalom spirit. They work the same evil that he did, stealing the heart affections away from the king, who alone deserves the glory. In Absalom's case, he attempted to steal the glory from his father, King David, while the false prophets today rob the glory from King Jesus, the only head of his body. Once again, 2 Samuel 15:6, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Any Christian leader who is not regularly preaching Christ's cross and how it applies in propitiation and the personal application of dying to self is utterly false. A crossless gospel is a false gospel. When we are crucified and sunk down into Christ the death, he who is the resurrection and the life, that's Jesus, and also the Holy Ghost who raised Christ from the dead will reign in us to magnify himself. How can men be quickened and moved from self-indulgence to the crucified life if, in fact, they rarely or never hear the biblical message of the cross? How can the message of the true gospel be forged in the hearts with deep conviction when they are being led, the people, to serve self through counterfeit leaders who are self-serving wolves in sheep's clothing? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15 says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." A.W. Tozer, in an apt description of the contemporary church, warned the following: "Shallow leadership would modify the cross to please the entertainment-mad saintlings who will have their fun even within in the very sanctuary. But to engage in such a modification of the gospel is to court spiritual disaster." Unquote. That is from A.W. Tozer. The Lord is calling for men who will choose to fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord also, and live their lives in the Spirit. This is the crucified life, and those who are living it preach it. Those who don't, can't, and won't preach it. Christ and the cross were the center point of the gospel. In Paul's case, 1 Corinthians 2:2 and Galatians 2:20 and 6:14, any man not willing to live and preach the cross is a ravenous, devouring wolf and will lead others inevitably into the same darkness that he himself relishes. Make no mistake, according to Jesus, a crossless gospel is of satanic origin, and all who do not sufficiently preach the cross are also of Satan. What has one profited it if he has not lost his life in order to be apprehended and swallowed up of Christ's life? Remember, Matthew 16:23 through 26, we read, "But he turned," Jesus did, "and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Matthew 16:23-26. The Greek word here for deny, as in denying self, is apartnamai, and means to deny or utterly disown. We, as his purchased possession, have been apprehended of God, bought by his own blood, the blood of Jesus, and saved into his eternal family. 1 Peter 2:5-9-11 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." 1 Peter chapter 2. Being his very own royal priesthood, we give up all rights to ourselves and yield our lives to be entirely led of him who alone is worthy. Like Christ, we utterly disown and deny our own will, that his will might be done in us. Now, concerning this passage we read in Matthew 16, William MacDonald writes the following preparation for true discipleship. He says, "Now, the Lord Jesus plainly states what is involved in being his disciple: denial of self, cross-bearing, and following him. To deny self is not the same as self-denial. It means to yield to his control so completely that self has no rights whatsoever. To take up the cross means the willingness to endure shame, suffering, and perhaps martyrdom for his sake. To die to sin, self, and the world. To follow him means to live as he lived, and all that involves of humility, poverty, compassion, love, grace, and every other godly virtue." He continues, he says, "The Lord anticipates two hindrances to discipleship. The first is the natural temptation to save oneself from discomfort, pain, loneliness, or loss. The other is to become wealthy. As to the first, Jesus warned that those who hug their lives for selfish purposes would never find fulfillment. Those who recklessly abandon their lives to him, not counting the cost, would find the reason for their existence." And also, he writes, "The second temptation, that of getting rich, is irrational. Suppose," said Jesus, "that a man becomes so successful in business that he owned the whole world. This mad quest would absorb so much of his time and energy that he would miss the central purpose of his life. What good would it do to make all that money? Then then die, leave it all behind, and spend eternity empty-handed, and I would add, in hell. He continues, man is here for bigger business than to make money. He is called to represent the interest of the King, Jesus. If he misses that, he misses everything. And finally, Mr. McDonald says, in verse 24 here of Matthew 16, he says, Jesus told them the worst. That is characteristic of Christianity. You know the worst at the outset, but you never cease discovering the treasures and the blessings. Barnhouse put it this way. He said, when one has seen all that is forbidding in the scriptures, there is not left hidden that can come as a surprise. Every new thing which he shall ever learn in this life or the next will come as a delight. Unquote. As one is taken by Christ into the burial of the self-life, he will steadily lose his grip on and affection for the momentary trinkets of this fleeting world and for the glamour and praise of mere men. Moved by the fear of the Lord, his allegiance and the affections of his heart will then begin to ascend to the glorious high throne from the beginning, which is the place of our sanctuary, according to Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 12. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What is it that we are clinching and clinging to in this life? What shall our temporal glory do for us in that day of judgment and eternity? What are we not willing to lay down for the love of God? What might we be counting and esteeming to be greater in importance than Jesus? What idol of the heart might remain in us? Ezekiel 14:3. What are our lives saying to others who see the dissimulation and inconsistencies of our own personal walk? What shall we say to him whose glory we stole away from those souls which we led astray from him? What shall be our end? What shall we say to him who bled to save those we steered away from him? 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16. Just as Christ was born in or manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit and then received up into glory, so is the life of the true saint. He is first born of flesh and then born of the spirit and will ultimately be raised up to heaven to be in the glory of God. John chapter 3 verses 1 through 8. According to this passage we read a moment ago in 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16, the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth and should be ever preaching the true gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and his saints both now and eternally. This is most certainly the true word of the original gospel, which Paul charged Timothy to preach, knowing that the hour was coming when men would turn from hearing the truth and would be turned to a false gospel of ease and self-gratification. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 through 4. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to his understudy Timothy, I charge therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure or hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Any gospel that does not regularly include the cross is a fable, and those preaching such are false teachers. God's word tells us that we are predestined to be conformed to Christ's image. Jesus' saints are not just predestined to have their sins washed away, they are also predestined to be conformed to his image, which is death, burial, and resurrection, according to Romans 8:29. Many today want their sins washed away and a ticket to heaven, but refuse or even reject and never hear the message of the cross. This, my friends, is tragic. Let's take another look at 1 Corinthians 15:36, which says, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." See, it's not made alive until it first dies and is planted. That's 1 Corinthians 15:36. Note the key words of this verse above, quickened and die. We are fools to believe that God is going to quicken or raise up the person who is not first dead, does not first die. Just as the seed cannot begin to germinate and bring forth a crop and then fruit until it first died downward into the ground, even so God will not germinate and bring forth the fruit of his life in us until we freely go downward in humility and the death of self. Colossians chapter 1 verses 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross," that's his death, Christ's death, "by him to reconcile," or ultimately raise up, resurrect, "all things into himself, by him," I say, "whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Colossians 1:20. Reconciling all things to himself requires the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, or raising up all those who have been brought by him into his kingdom. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, Romans 8:29. He therefore purposely orchestrates all things in our lives to conform us to Christ's crucified and raised up image. He never said that in this life all things would be just or fair or good, but rather that he works all things together for good to them that love God, Romans 8:28. When we love God supremely, as he commanded, we will willingly allow him to conform us to the image of his son by death, burial, and resurrection. Our heavenly Father is the master orchestrator of all things and will be glorified in his true remnant saints, in whom is all his delight, according to Psalm 16, verse 3. Romans 8:28 and 29 read together says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." As Christ died on the cross for our sins and the sins of the world, so those apprehended by him are to die the death of their flesh, their self-life, and love for the world. Jesus Christ is the true gospel, and those called and justified by him are predestined to be conformed to his image in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 30 of Romans 8, the following verse says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." All men he did predestinate to be saved, and yet only some will answer that call. Those who answer his call affirmatively are the called and are by him justified and glorified, which is something that is presently true and also will be manifest when we meet him. So, speaking of the order of the gospel, there are many who will readily preach the predestination of this passage we read in Romans 8, and yet not the conformity to Christ's image. They preach the positional and not the practical. They personally walk and teach the road of ease, and this is clear in that they attach no personal responsibility to the called individual to yield to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in crucifixion of the self-life, according to Romans 8:13. These are those ungodly men who are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness or a license for sin and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Jude verses 3 and 4. By doing such, these leaders betray the one who bled on the cross and commanded all who will come after him to deny self and take up their crosses and follow him. these false leaders call men to worship at the altar of self. They beckon them to try to experience their best life now, reinvent themselves or esteem themselves in this sinful world instead of pointing them to the resurrection glorification that is coming to those who willingly and obediently suffer the death of self in this life. The Lord simply will not glorify or resurrect and grant eternal victory to those who try to circumvent his way, which is always the cross. John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn or grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Those who love self so much and therefore will not fall down flat and die will abide alone for eternity, apart from God in outer darkness. Matthew 8:12. So what is the order of the gospel? Again, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and also reenacted in our daily lives. This order cannot be altered. It is fixed and ironclad. The gospel is first the death, then the burial, and only then the resurrection of Jesus. The Lord will not change, Malachi 3:6. This is the divine and non-negotiable order. By teaching a supposed victory before or without a preceding death and burial, smiling modern-day beguilers teach a false gospel. These are the prophesied false prophets who are leading many to eternal damnation. Was not Christ raising up or resurrection preceded by his first dying and being buried? Yes. In God's economy, there can be no victory without no resurrection, without foregoing and willing death to self. The burial of the old man with his sinful deeds, the sting of death can possess no power over that one who is dead and buried with Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15:56. In fact, Romans 6:7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Only those who are dead to self can be freed from sin. The Lord will only raise up that one who is bowed down in humility before him. According to Psalm 145:14, the Lord raiseth up those that be bowed down. Those who are conformed to his holy image are justified, sanctified, and glorified with the Savior, according to what we read in Romans 8 earlier. When we die, giving preference to the Lord above ourselves by allowing his infinite power to completely envelop our mortal and finite frailty, then his victory is wrought, but not before we obediently lay down our lives. 1 Corinthians 15:54-57 says, so when the corruptible shall have put on the incorruption, on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. Sin gives strength to death to conquer the sinner, and yet when a person dies, that is, to self, death is swallowed up in victory. Christ's victory conquers sin when the individual saint dies to self in obedience to Jesus. At that point, the Lord's grace and Holy Spirit enable and bring forth the victory. Jesus is our victory. Just as Christ's death, burial, and resurrection wrought the victory of salvation for the whole world of men, so when we follow him by laying down our own lives and being buried with him, then the resurrection victory manifests in our personal lives, experiencing freedom and liberty from sin, and the taste of divine glory and victory is the true believer's foretaste of heaven here on earth and glory divine. Today, so many want the rewards of Christ's victory without Christ's cross. They want the benefits his so great salvation purchased, and yet without bearing the cross. This is why many migrate to teachers and churches that tickle their unrepentant ears by telling them what they want to hear instead of what they truly need to hear. Jesus told us that everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice, John 18:37. His voice has not changed. He told us plainly that in order to follow Him, we must deny ourselves and take up the cross daily and follow Him. He will raise us up in His power and life as we follow His leading and example of first laying down our own self-life. Let us pray, friends. Jesus, please forge in my heart the deep desire and conviction to know You and for Your holy truth. Bless me to love Your word, dear Lord, and to willingly submit myself to You, to be crucified with You, that You might raise this life upward into victory, the victory that only You can grant. Open my eyes to know whom the wolves are who refuse to preach Your cross and therefore are Your enemies, dear Lord. I will follow You and not mere men, dear Lord. Saying with the Apostle Paul, let God be true and every man a liar, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting, and feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus.